Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always is my co-host,
Graham K. How's it going, everybody? Are we good? Good. I'm glad you're good. How you doing, Kirk?
I'm doing good. I'm in my apartment with my white walls, or as you call it, my insane asylum white walls. I got some art.
We talked about this. Are you going to put stuff up?
I have art up. I got my printer working.
You did it.
I did it. The art is one of the pieces has already fallen down, so I've already yelled your name in anger because it took me. I had to find the studs. Then I had to go get. I thought I had nails. I didn't have nails. I had to go buy nails. And it took me a long time to put the mats down, the matting for the frames. But I did it. It's up. So.
Wow.
It's been up to rave reviews. Nobody's noticed.
People notice. It's going to help you not die alone, I promise. Yeah, women are going to see that, you took the time to put things on your walls. You don't live in an insane asylum, and they're going to feel safe. And then they're going to stay with you, and you're going to get married and not die alone. So it's going to be great. This is a really, you've been cursing my name, but you'll be thanking me. You'll be thanking me.
Just to be clear, art is for women, everybody. That's what Graham's saying.
No, it's so when you bring people home, over to your house, you don't look crazy.
All right, fair enough.
If you guys listen, you don't understand. I went to Kirk's house, his apartment a couple weeks ago, and he just moved into this new place. And there was a mattress in the corner.
That's not a mattress in the corner, you liar.
There's a bed in the corner, and it's completely barren walls. You gotta make this place feel comfortable for people.
Fair enough.
But you don't want people to think they're gonna get murdered, you know?
So you're saying everything shouldn't be covered in plastic. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was also an issue. It freaked me out. I was wondering if you're gonna. The hit was on me.
It was very dexterous. Very dexterous. Guys, this is your comedian's guide to autism. We're two comedians who have loved ones with autism. I have a 19-year-old son who is severely autistic, nonverbal, on any sort of scale, he'd be considered severe. And tell us about your brother Pete, Graham.
Oh, Pete's doing pretty well. He's somewhere in the middle of the spectrum, and he took care of my parents' house for almost 3 months, and they just got back yesterday and relieved him of his duties, and he's very, very jacked to be back in his own apartment.
His own placement.
His own placement. But it was sort of cruel because they got home and then they had to wake up early and then go to the next day. They had to go to like a family, extended family Easter dinner. So they made him stay one more night.
Oh no!
Can you believe it?
Oh no!
Yeah. Oh man, that there was like my mom was like it was a full hour of negotiation, but when we and then my mom's always trying to figure out the angle, and she was like. I explained to him that we're saving him 2 bus trips.
That's true.
And he was like, oh, okay. Saving bus trips. Okay. You're saving me time.
That's true.
And she's like, there. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But everyone's home safe. Peter's good. The dog is alive. Peter kept the dog alive. I don't know how many plants he killed. But I imagine 70% of the plants are alive. Yeah, he's good. I talked to him the other day. We'll just do a week. I'll just segue straight That's into the week in review for Peter.
Let's do it.
I talked to Peter the other day on the phone for about half an hour. A little catch up. He's doing great. You know, he's we had a listener suggest that maybe he should join a bowling league. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, we did.
And
idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he likes to go to bed early, so these things happen late, but I still think it's a good idea, and it's something that is a little more interactive and with the other people,
yeah.
Participants, and it's something that is a little more co-ed, which is, you know, good.
Yeah.
And speaking of dying alone, and so
this
he doesn't want to date. He's
took a dark turn.
Yeah. No. Well, he doesn't want to date. And, you know, he's like, he's over it. You know, as our longtime listeners know, he's like, it's too much trouble. Women are too much trouble. I think I'm just going to be a single guy in my 30s. And then I'll wait till my 40s. You know, it's like, but, you know, I want him to have a girlfriend and have some excitement in his life. And it's really difficult. And we've been over this a million times on this podcast, but this is another strategy. And he was lukewarm to the idea, but with Peter, as I imagine, and I hear about a lot of people with autism, you gotta plant the seed and let it germinate and then come back to it and water it and keep watering it and then eventually he'll come around and be like, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
So I planted the seed. We'll see what happens. You know, nothing else of note. Oh, I'm going to be, his special needs network, like the group that he has been a part of for 20 years now, hit me up and they were like, can you MC one of our events in May? So I said yes. So I'm going to fly back and MC one of their events in Ottawa, and I'll see my family. It'll be good. And then I'm going to write it off on taxes as a charitable event because I'm a good person.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah, it's like that episode. It's like that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where he like. I think we've talked about this on this podcast, actually. I think we talked about this exact same thing. Anyway, a classy guy would not announce that I'm doing this, but I'm not classy, and I want all the credit. So that's that. How about you? What's new with JJ?
I'm doing good. JJ went out with one of his cousins yesterday to McDonald's, which is one of his favorites. And so there's a picture.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, and you know what? I will grab one and post it on my Instagram. For those of you who probably cannot follow him on Facebook, I just realized, or I'll post it on our Facebook profile pic, not profile pic. Jeez, Louise,
our profile page. Jeez, Grandpa, figure it out. Come on, let's go.
I'm gonna post it on my face. Is that what it's called? And he's doing good.
Oh, boy.
We had our daily call. So that was good today. He was a little jazzed up on sugar, it seemed like. But a long-time listeners know we got that new computer, that is indestructible. So this is how life works. It's so ironic. But we got this new computer that's virtually indestructible. And we've decided the people where he lives have decided, you know what, we should just create a desk that the computer can kind of be locked into. And so it cannot be
Can I set it up for the listeners?
Yeah,
the odyssey of this computer. So just to remind, to give a little reminder, and if you're a new listener, Kirk has been trying to figure out what's the cheapest way to give his son JJ computing. You know, it's like, did you get the cheap one that's like $100? Because he's gonna break it. He knows he's gonna break it. So over a year, you gotta buy him like how many computers if you buy the cheap one?
Six or seven, about $150 each. Yeah,
six or seven computers over a year. So he's been going. You know, he just uses it for web browsing. So who cares? So, but then Kirk's like, maybe if I buy the really expensive Toshiba indestructible computer, it'll be cheaper in the long run. And this is a big experiment. So we're all waiting. We're all on tender hooks. What happened? Is it broken?
One of our listeners who
just got it.
Wanted to be involved was like, it was her idea. And she's like, I want to help you. You know, she like did the research and she did all the stuff. And it was like, it was really sweet of her. So, and she's like, I want to help get it over there. The whole thing.
What was her name again?
This is Christine. I will protect her last name. Well, it's her last name. It was like just, you know, we didn't really, she just reached out. Was like, I heard your things. I want to be involved. I want to help you with this. And so we got this indestructible. They're like $3,000 new, but refurbished was like $900. But the people where he lives at the group home were like, you know what we should do is make him a desk where the computer slides in and he can't take it with him because it's more for behavioral issues because he wants to take it all the time and he wants to – you know, instead of sleeping, he wants to play on the computer. And so to kind of divide up his day, listen, when you sit at the desk, then you can use the computer. And then when you're, you know, in bed, then you can
discipline.
Yeah. So after all that, after getting the indestructible one, it's almost we've made it turn it into almost a desktop, unbelievably. Just like typical life where you think you've got it figured out and it's switcheroo. So, but it's going good. And the latest was he still wanted to be in bed, so he dragged his bed over to the desk. Pushed the chair out of the way, and so there is a bed pushed up against the desk.
Oh, man, what a genius. It's good for him.
But
that's funny. That's really sweet.
He's so good. Christine, a big thanks to you. It really meant a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, really meant a lot.
People are nice.
People are nice. There's a lot of good people out there. You know, mm-hmm. we have a lot of letters too.
Let's do letters.
All right, you want to do
Let's
news
do
first?
Letters. We'll do we'll do news first, then we'll do letters.
We've got two news articles this week. This one is near and dear to Graham's heart because it's about the NBA. Big fan of the NBA, Graham. I know you are. Big fan.
I love NBA basketball. I know you do too.
Yeah, you want to set this one up?
Quick question.
What's up?
Yeah, I do. But quick question, quick NBA question. Are my Toronto Raptors going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers?
No.
In the playoffs? No.
Next question.
I didn't think that.
So mean.
That's what I was afraid of.
So
darn
mean.
It.
So disparaging. Just let you finish the question.
Oh no. Okay, off air, we're going to talk more about this. Moving on.
One guy who's pretty good, maybe you've heard of him, and he kind of dominates in the playoffs. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, he's got a track record. He's got what they call it a proven track record.
He's what's called superhuman.
But speaking of, he is superhuman. They should do
body.
Some like.
It's like a different species, yeah.
Yeah, he is perfect, except for right above the eyebrows. It's very humanizing above the eyebrows, but below the eyebrows, humbling. Anyway, speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who LeBron James plays for, in 2016, a father with his nonverbal son with autism went to go see a game, and his son uses an electronic device to communicate with. And when he went through the metal detector, it of course went off, and the security guard thought it was like a video game or something and tried to get it out of his hands. And then the kid obviously reacted, and the security guard escalated the situation. And, you know, these things happen, but the good news is it resulted in some sort of reforms, and that's where we get to the article. Kirk.
Yeah, sometimes these things result in positive change, I feel like, these little struggles. So here we go. So the title is, The NBA's autism-friendly New York City store is a slam dunk. By making small tweaks, the NBA managed to make its Fifth Avenue store more welcoming to people with autism. There's nothing quite like the energy of a live sporting event, cheering fans, flashing lights, screeching whistles, all made for an adrenaline burst like few others. But for someone with autism and other sensory processing disorders, game day overload can easily become a sudden and frightening panic attack. Talks about what you just talked about Jeff and Amy. Bells know the situation well, and they took their 10-year-old son to a Cleveland Cavs game. Carson, which is nonverbal and carries a speech-generating device to help him communicate, sounds a little like my son, headed to the security gate. The tech equipment set off the alarm, which triggered the boy. Security guard asked him to hand it over, and it's as this thing escalated. I don't want to repeat everything you said, but we'll so jump ahead a little bit. The Cavs connected the NBA. So then it goes. The incident is one of the many that have come to the attention of the NBA over the years. People with sensory disabilities ranging from autism to PTSD to sensory processing disorder have become overwhelmed at games. So the Cavs connected the NBA to a nonprofit called Culture City with a K, which works to make public spaces friendlier for people like Carson. The Sports League on Friday opened its fourth sensory inclusive space in the home of the Utah Jazz. The Cavs and the other two teams are the Sacramento Kings and Oklahoma Thunder already have these rooms. It's really great. And then today in New York City, the NBA store on Fifth Avenue announces that with the help of Culture City, it's outfitted its space to make it more inclusive for people with sensory disabilities. And they have special shopping days.
Fantastic.
And they've got it's just part of a broader effort by the NBA to make all of its public spaces more sensory inclusive. It's a great article.
Great.
Really great article. Yeah, it's a really great article. So I think things are changing. This is in fastmoney.com, by the way, if you're interested. It's that it's a tech magazine. Tech magazine. Well, we've got a second article, I believe. You want to set up the second article, Graham?
Yes, the second article is also related to the first in that it is about people adapting to people with autism and getting further trained and changing the way they do things. It's about a police force, I believe, in New England that they have got further expanded testing and training on how to deal with people with autism, and they have put a magnetic patch, a special autism awareness patch, you know, the typical puzzle, multicolored puzzle thing, but in the shape of their police patch on their cruiser. And they get pulled over a bunch, and people are like, what's that? And they talk about it. It's pretty cool. Right, Kirk?
Yeah. It's in New Rochelle, which is just north of New York City. For those of you who live out there, you may have seen this. Police crews across the country are now supporting magnetic decals, in April. It's the brainchild of New Rochelle Police Detective. The Autism Patch Challenge, which aims to promote awareness of the autism spectrum disorder, has been adopted by 130 law enforcement agencies as far away as Texas and New Mexico, thanks to social media. Custom-made, the decals with the name of the police department are placed over the car's traditional badge symbol during the month of April. Never would thought it could get as big as it got, says Chris Greco, who created the challenge over a year ago. Basically, it highlights the additional training that they received. This is an important issue because, I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, long-time listeners will know, there was that issue with the autistic boy who he was out with his caregiver who was a black gentleman who they tried to get somehow there was a report of a gun. What he actually had was like a toy, a fire truck or something. And so he was given the instruction to lie down, which he did not follow because he was nonverbal. But this sort of training is what's needed to make sure that terrible accidents don't happen. You know, that something horrific didn't happen that cost some poor person his life, and then the officer would feel, you know, carry that the rest of his life, or he, you know, accidentally took the life of a disabled person who didn't understand the instructions being given. So this kind of training is like essential, I think.
Yeah, geez. You really had to bring us down there at the end there, didn't you, Kirk? I was like, let's do two positive stories this episode, Kirk. You're like, good idea, Graham.
That is what you said, and we tried. Yeah. We did one.
We tried, yeah. Oh, man.
That's just where the story led
anyway,
me.
I know, and that's probably where it started too. But anyway, let's end on a positive note. Let's go to letters. Should we do some letters?
Let's do some letters.
Let's do some letters. All dramatic right. Pause, baby. Let's go.
Let's do this. This is from Britt S. See how I didn't read the last name? I'm getting better, Graham. I'm learning. Teaching this old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. The message says, I hate technology.
3 years into our podcast. Good job.
Just so we're clear, the letter says, I hate technology. That's not Kirk Smith speaking. That's what she says. That's her opening line from Britt.
Me too, Britt.
Sorry, you're getting the shortened version of what I previously wrote because my last rambling message was lost. And she talks about Parabelliform on the BBC Food program last week. There's a speaker doing this whole tortellini training for special needs boys in Modena. Modena, I believe that's Italy. Anyway, I'm not doing it justice.
It's Italy. Modena.
I think you're right. And I'm not savvy enough to figure out how to get more info, but I'm sure you can. Thanks for being awesome. I am old. That's what she's saying again. I have a single mom of twin girls who are beautiful. Is this lady like my conscience? Apparently I have the conscience of a middle-aged white woman in the Modena. Yeah. I am old and the single mom of twin girls who are beautiful and wonderful and one happens to be autistic. It's terrifying, but hearing other people be terrified by the same types of things It's comforting. I know exactly what you mean.
100%.
It's great to hear Kirk getting fired up, and I agree. The way we deal with mental illness in this country is insane. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere. Keep up the good work. Brett, thank you so much for the letter.
Thanks, Brett.
Next letter is from Bob C. Hey, guys. Love your show here from Australia. Thanks for all you do. You intrigue me with a podcast about the feral children. Any chance you could tell me the name of the podcast and the show title? I'm from Boston originally. And
oh, yeah. It's called Stuff You Should Know.
That's right.
Stuff You Should Know. Yeah.
And I think the episode was called Feral Children, I believe. Am I crazy? I think that's right. We could Google it, but we're not going to.
Nope.
But I think it's Feral Children.
Nope.
No? What was it called?
Yep. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay, got it.
We are not going to Google it. It is Feral Children.
Got it. The rest of the message says, oh, and being from Boston, originally I'd never heard of box milk, but here in Oz, so they call it in Australia, the cool people, so the hip people call it, they have box milk, or long life milk, as they call it here, and it's used as backup only. But I digress. Keep up what you're doing. Any chance you may do some shows in Australia? Yes, I will be there in November, I believe. I'm still working on the details, but October, November is what I'm shooting for right now. And
awesome.
That was from Bob C. Next message. This is from Neil. Last name A, last name M. Two last names. Love the podcast. Thought you guys might be interested in a new show on Australia TV to give some context. These guys are from Australia as well. The Aussie government is rolling out the new disabilities insurance scheme, which promotes natural supports, quote-unquote, like family cares and employment, instead of government funding. The show follows some people with autism trying to find work for the first time. And there's a link to an Australian television show on ABC Australia that I will push out today. I will post it today. We have not checked that out. Neil, I will check that out. It's interesting. What do you think, Graham? Is that a good idea?
I think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I think that's the future. I think part of the future for overwhelmed moms is if you have a severely disabled kid who's 10 and your entire day is, you know, when he gets home is you're potty training him and you're, you know, he sleeps 4 hours a night, so you have to take a nap when he's in school and your whole day revolves around him. If there was funding to appreciate the fact that that mother is basically working full time, and so she doesn't also have to try to get a minimum wage job at McDonald's, which would be insane, then I think that would be a huge, huge help. I think there's still, in this country at least, a real lack of knowledge about the severity of what autism can be, in part because, you know, the good doctor in these shows, but yeah, autism can be something completely overwhelming. And this is a message from Neil, who lives in Melbourne.
Thanks, Neil. I appreciate the letter. Let's keep her moving.
All right. Next message. Our next message is from Jerry C., who is training to – I am enjoying your podcast. I have a 20-year-old son with autism. I'm training for my PhD. And she just goes on to discuss the things she is learning and asks about reaching out to. Jerry, I need to reply to your message and get some more information. But as always, we appreciate your note. And yeah, I'd love to hear about what you're learning and your PhD program focused on autism education for primary care providers or for adult primary care providers. That sounds great. I'll send you a message back and get some details on that. Thank you so much for your letter.
Cool.
Next message, Bart S. Great podcast. Appreciate this humor and empathy. Just found out I am on the spectrum at age 53. Wow. And I'm trying to make sure I'm learning and try many different approaches. Then he jumps to Squatty Potty, quote unquote, is a brand name. I found another, Sit and Squat, which works well. It seems to help with fuller elimination. Wow, that's very specific. Thank you, Bart. Especially after a few days. I'm not sure if it treats any symptoms or would help with any of your family members' challenges. Everything I can do to keep my gut healthy is worth trying. Thanks. Well, thanks for the note, Bart. That was very direct.
That's a great note. Thanks, Bart. Yeah, man. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for the note. And good luck moving forward. I'm glad that you got a diagnosis and you can attack it more specifically. And I'm seriously thinking of trying out one of those potty things. There's a lot of all my friends, All my friends are like, it's the best thing I've ever bought in my life, period. Yeah, we're not even getting paid to say that. I mean, we'll see.
No, it's true. Out in L.A., it's like a, yeah, it's a lot, man. L.A., New York, it seems like, man, it's a lot of that. Anyway, next article is from Hersey, H-E-R-C-I, Herky, Hersey. It talks about a Denver Post article that talks about the staggering rates of divorce for families with autism. And I would just take this opportunity to point out for our parents out there that are holding a marriage together or trying to hold a marriage, just especially to the men out there that are listening. Really, if I had a couple things to do over my life, that would be one of them, to really just try to don't tough it out. Come to the cognizant realization that it's an impossible task and it's not humanly achievable, and to really take the effort to intentionally ask for help and make plans with your wife to go do stuff and make, go out of your way to make her take a break when she does not want to.
Right.
And
I hear you.
And rope in your in-laws and brothers, and who are going to hate you at the end of your life anyway, so you may as well burn those bridges and ask for their help and not try to, I'm joking about burning bridges, but ask for the help and not worry about their judgments or them thinking that you're lesser than because you need extra help, because the situation is overwhelming and not humanly achievable.
That's really good advice, Kirk. At the beginning, I thought you were going to tell everyone they should get a divorce because it's impossible to stay together. But I understood what you were getting at the end. That's very good advice. We, of course, have hit on that in the past. But also, I would like to add that, you know, there, you know, maybe your family would be annoyed in the beginning. There's a possibility. But I have a feeling that it would bring you guys closer together in the end. You know?
In the end, I think so. I just think that sometimes family dynamics can be complicated. So, like, if your mom is helping babysit your kids more than your brother's kids, that's a conversation that happens. Like, oh, you watch Kirk's kids, oh, I should watch my kids. So, but the reality of life is life's not fair, and some people need extra help. And so, like, don't be afraid.
People want to help too.
Yeah. But don't be afraid to ask. I feel
people
like
don't know how hard it is.
That I agree.
I feel people have no idea how hard. They have no idea how hard it is, and you have to tell them. But that's great advice, Kirk. Anyway, do we have anything else?
And I do just last thing I just wanted to add. If you are a single mom or single dad, this does not come from a place of judgment. This isn't an indication that you can't do it or that you're somehow less than or that you're inferior. I would just encourage you to continue to expand your network and your friendship and your family, whether that's biological or, you know, family that you choose to have through friends, and to not be discouraged and don't feel beat up if your relationship did fall apart. That's very common and not a reason to feel bad about yourself.
Great.
I don't know if that was too preachy, but yeah, I just wanted to get that out there because I know there's a lot of single people listening to this podcast. Last message we got this week, I believe this is the last one, is Lisa J. All caught up in your messages, or your episodes, excuse me. You guys asked for movie recommendations. Have you seen The Other Sister? Might be too much of a chick flick, but I love the spirit of it. Keep doing what you're doing. I have not seen that. Have you seen that, Graham?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, she's from Pittsburgh, this lady, Lisa J., and I have not heard of it. I'll have to check that out. I'll have to check it out. Well, as always, you can send us your messages to Autastic Podcast on Facebook. I know a lot of people are deleting Facebook, so if you're not on Facebook, Instagram as well, Kirk Smith Comedy, and email autasticpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Graham, tell us about your social media.
I got big social media news, Kirk. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. What do you got, bud?
I have changed my Instagram once again.
A fourth time?
It is a third time. Oh, this is a fourth time. This is a fourth time. Jeez. But I've changed it back to the original one. I'm at Instagram. I couldn't handle it anymore.
I feel like you actively sabotage, and I'm not sure why you sabotage your own social media. It's like,
yeah,
I love you to death, but I feel like if somebody wrote this down, It would be there's like you have a Machiavellian manager who secretly hates you that every week gets you to change something so that nobody can find you.
That's the right side of my brain. That's the Machiavellian manager. He's always like scheming how to screw me over. If you ever go to a restaurant with me, it's a nightmare. I'll make a sit in three different places.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah, so I'm at Instagram K, back at the original Insta Graham K. My name was in. What's all that banging?
Oh, it's me banging a table. I can't believe you changed it back. It's so funny.
Yeah, Instagram K, and my Twitter's changing. I changed it too. My Twitter is Mr. Graham K. Simple, Mr. I'm going back to simple.
You're a lunatic.
I am a lunatic. I'm a straight up lunatic. But I think this is the right choice. I think simple is better.
I think it's the right choice for the next 6 weeks. You'll change it again. You'll come back. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Podcast.
If you need to, if you feel like this podcast adds any joy, interest, excitement to your life, please feel free to support us at Autastic Podcasts at patreon.com. So patreon.com/autastic for as little as $1 an episode. You can help us fund our Instagram
name. Or five. You can donate. You can donate five. You guys can afford five. That's true. You know, you guys can afford five. You guys got jobs.
That's true.
Yeah. Some of you can't. That's fine.
And if you can't, please just share this podcast with somebody you might think would be interested. Come see our shows. Next week I'll be in Prince George, the Yukon. Then I'll be in Vancouver all week of April the 13th to the 15th, and then Victoria Island that weekend, and then back in Los Angeles. Graham, tell us about your schedule.
You're going to the Yukon?
I'm going to the Yukon, man. I'm going to Sonar up in the Yukon, a place called Prince George.
What the heck are you doing up there?
It was a gig. It was like you want
to. There's 11 people.
They're all coming to the
show. You really go to all four. You go to four corn. Kirk will go. You go to Kuala Lumpur for $300.
I have.
Yeah. Have you really?
Yeah, I prefer to Kuala Lumpur. Yeah, just a bus ride from Singapore. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yep. KL.
Anywhere outside of. New York or L.A., he will go. You cannot break into New York or L.A., but outside.
Hey, I was at the comedy store Friday and Saturday night. Come on.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you're doing great. That's great, man. I'm at comedybythegraham.com is my website. I got my full schedule up there. Come to New York, see me do some shows. And if you live in the Chicago area, I will be at the Comedy Bar all weekend, this upcoming weekend. Look at my website for schedule, show times and whatnot. But I arrive on the 11th of April, and I'm doing shows all over town. So, Chicago, come see me. Comedy Bar. Yeah.
All right, guys, have a great week. You can do it.